How to Hug a Porcupine has become a cultural touchstone for anyone navigating thorny relationships. Since its publication, this metaphor-rich guide has found its way onto the bookshelves of therapists, HR professionals, and countless individuals seeking to transform their most challenging relationships. The book's enduring popularity stems from its universal application. We all have porcupines in our lives, those difficult people whose defensive behaviors keep others at a distance. What makes Sean K. Smith's approach so compelling is its compassionate recognition that beneath those sharp quills lies someone worthy of understanding and connection. As Oprah Winfrey once noted in her book club selection, sometimes the people who are hardest to love are the ones who need it most, a sentiment that perfectly captures the essence of this transformative work. The metaphor of the porcupine brilliantly captures the essence of difficult people. Throughout history, cultures have used animal characteristics to describe human personalities, from Native American spirit animals to Chinese zodiac signs and Aesop's fables. The wolf represents leadership, the fox, cunning, and the dove, peace. This tradition continues with Smith's porcupine metaphor, which draws from actual porcupine biology to illuminate human behavior in uniquely insightful ways. Real porcupines are remarkable rodents with up to 30,000 quills embedded in their skin, each one a masterpiece of defensive engineering. These quills lie flat when the animal is relaxed, but can be instantly erected when threatened. When alarmed, porcupines display a complex series of defensive behaviors. They make their quills stand erect, produce a rattling sound by shaking their tails, emit distinctive warning grunts, and may even charge backward at predators. Contrary to popular belief, they cannot throw their quills. They must make physical contact with their target. This defensive behavior perfectly mirrors human porcupines, who reveal their defensive nature only when they feel their psychological safety is compromised. The parallel between animal and human behavior is striking. Just as a porcupine's attack is the last resort of a frightened creature trying to keep threats at bay, human porcupines lash out from fear rather than malice. Their sharp words, like quills, are defensive weapons designed to maintain safe distance. These verbal barbs might take the form of cutting remarks, hostile body language, or emotional withdrawal. By the time you notice these defenses, you've already encroached on their territory, perhaps unwittingly, triggering their protective mechanisms. What makes this metaphor so powerful is its compassionate framing. It reminds us that difficult behavior isn't personal, it's protective. Human porcupines, like baby porcupets, are born soft and vulnerable. Their hardened exteriors and sharp quills develop over time from bad experiences, betrayals, childhood trauma, fears, and failed relationships. Some may have learned these defensive behaviors in childhood, while others developed them after particularly painful adult experiences. Understanding that these defensive mechanisms are part of their adapted survival strategy, not necessarily meant to hurt us, helps us relate to them more effectively and with greater empathy. The metaphor also teaches us about proximity and timing. Just as you wouldn't approach a porcupine without careful consideration, interactions with defensive people require thoughtful strategy and patience. Recognizing the signs of defensiveness early allows us to adjust our approach before either party gets hurt, making the porcupine metaphor not just descriptive, but prescriptive in managing challenging relationships. Human porcupines use words as their quills, delivered aggressively with fierce language and often in elevated voices. These verbal barbs can manifest in various forms: sarcastic comments, cutting remarks, hostile questioning, or outright accusations. Learning to recognize these warning signs is crucial for navigating difficult interactions. When someone's voice rises, their posture stiffens, or their language becomes accusatory, you're witnessing quills being raised, a clear indication that they feel threatened. Additional physical cues might include crossed arms, clenched fists, rapid breathing, or avoiding eye contact. The challenge lies in not responding in kind. A porcupine's defensive behavior can be surprisingly contagious, triggering our own protective instincts. When faced with someone's sharp words or hostile tone, our natural instinct is to protect ourselves by raising our own quills. This defensive response might manifest as matching their volume, interrupting, making dismissive gestures, or responding with equally pointed remarks. But this only escalates the situation, creating a painful standoff where both parties end up wounded and relationships become strained. Instead, take a step back, literally and figuratively. Deep breathing activates your parasympathetic nervous system, counteracting the fight-or-flight response triggered by confrontation. Practice specific techniques like box breathing, inhale for 4 counts, hold for 4, exhale for 4, hold for 4, or progressive muscle relaxation. This physiological reset gives you precious moments to choose a thoughtful response rather than a reactive one. Remember that there's a significant difference between trying to understand what's bothering your porcupine and getting into a fight. The former requires empathy and patience. The latter satisfies only momentary emotional impulses at the cost of the relationship. Consider using phrases like, "Help me understand," or "I notice you seem concerned about," to create openings for dialogue rather than debate. When I found myself working with a particularly prickly colleague who would snap at the smallest suggestion, I learned to pause before responding. That brief moment allowed me to ask myself, what might be causing this reaction? Rather than matching her defensive energy, I would lower my voice, slow my speech, and ask open-ended questions. Over time, this approach not only diffused potential conflicts, but gradually built trust between us. The key was consistency, maintaining this measured response even when faced with repeated defensive behavior. Maintaining composure when faced with defensive behavior isn't about suppressing your own feelings. It's about choosing when and how to express them constructively. This might mean scheduling a separate conversation when emotions have cooled, writing down your thoughts first, or seeking support from a neutral third party. By keeping your own quills down, you create the psychological safety necessary for your porcupine to eventually lower theirs. Remember that defensive behavior often masks underlying fears or insecurities. Approaching with patience and understanding can help address the root causes rather than just the symptoms. Even the most defensive people have vulnerable areas, emotional soft spots where genuine connection is possible. With careful attention, you can discover what topics bring a smile to your porcupine's face. Perhaps they light up when discussing their children, become animated when talking about a hobby, or relax when reminiscing about certain memories. These soft spots are doorways to authentic connection. When you bring up subjects that matter to your porcupine, you signal that you see them as a complete person, not just as the difficult behavior they sometimes exhibit. This recognition is profoundly validating and can gradually reduce their need for defensive posturing. Developing this level of empathy requires emotional maturity and flexibility in thinking. Take time to consider what your porcupine might be feeling and how you would feel in their position. What pressures might they be under? What past experiences might be influencing their current behavior? What fears might be driving their defensiveness? This isn't just about understanding their perspective. It's about feeling it. True empathy involves temporarily stepping into another person's emotional reality, even when it's uncomfortable or unfamiliar. When you can genuinely say, "I understand why you might feel that way," you create a bridge across which real communication can travel. Pay close attention to your porcupine's preferences and dislikes. If you know they become irritable when hungry, suggest taking a lunch break before tackling difficult conversations. If they're overwhelmed by loud environments, find quieter spaces for important discussions. These small considerations demonstrate that you're attentive to their needs and committed to their comfort. Remember that empathy isn't agreement. You can understand someone's feelings without endorsing their behavior. The goal isn't to excuse prickly actions, but to create conditions where defensiveness becomes unnecessary because the person feels fundamentally seen and respected. Effective communication with defensive people requires learning to speak porcupine, a language of validation, curiosity, and non-judgment. This approach begins with encouraging your porcupine to discuss what triggers their defenses, creating a safe space for vulnerability. Often, sharing your own vulnerabilities first can break the ice. By admitting, "I get really defensive when I feel my confidence is being questioned because I worry about not measuring up," you model the honesty you're hoping to receive. This vulnerability paradoxically becomes your best defense, showing your porcupine that everyone has weaknesses and creating psychological safety for them to share theirs. When conflicts arise, be specific rather than general. Instead of saying, "You're always critical," try, "When you commented on my presentation without acknowledging the parts that went well, I felt discouraged." Specific city gives your porcupine something concrete to consider, rather than a sweeping accusation to defend against. Avoid blame-laden language, which triggers immediate defensiveness. Phrases beginning with "you always" or "you never" put people on high alert. Instead, use I statements that express your experience without assigning blame. "I feel frustrated when meetings run over because I have other commitments afterward." The Socratic method, using thoughtful questions rather than statements, can be particularly effective. Instead of telling your porcupine what they did wrong, ask, "What did you hope would happen when you approached the situation that way?" Or, "How did you feel when that happened?" These questions invite reflection rather than resistance. When your porcupine does speak, resist the urge to interrupt. Interruptions are power plays, suggesting what you have to say is more important than what they're saying. Let them fully express themselves, even if you disagree with their perspective. A talking porcupine is too busy thinking and feeling to get defensive, and they're giving you valuable information about what makes them tick. Remember that effective communication isn't about winning arguments. It's about promoting honesty, openness, and willingness to grow together. There are no winners and losers in relationships, only teammates working toward mutual understanding. The workplace presents unique challenges for dealing with porcupines. Monday through Friday, most of us spend more time with colleagues than with family, making work relationships particularly impactful on our well-being. Whether it's a shouting boss, a chronic complainer, or a pessimistic teammate, workplace porcupines can make professional life exasperating. When confronting workplace issues with a defensive colleague or supervisor, stay firm without being stubborn. If your concern is legitimate, you have every right and responsibility to air it, no matter how high the noise level gets. Firmness means using diplomatic skills to find solutions that work for everyone, not just insisting on your way. Ask good questions that cut through anxiety and defensiveness. If your boss explodes over a minor problem, a larger issue might be looming. Try, "You seem concerned about the deadline. I am too. What can I do to help us get back on schedule?" Direct questions like this move beyond accusation toward collaboration. Listen actively to transform yourself from potential adversary to ally. By truly hearing your colleague's concerns, you become someone to be trusted, no longer part of the problem, but someone with information to offer solutions. This shift in dynamic can dramatically change how your workplace porcupine relates to you. Look for common interests outside of work contexts. Company events, lunch outings, or after-work activities can help employees connect on a human level. You might discover shared interests with even the most difficult colleagues, building trust that becomes invaluable when workplace conflicts arise. Negotiation skills are essential in professional settings. To truly negotiate, disputing parties must understand each other's needs and demands, avoid getting emotional, and concentrate on facts. Remember that workplaces can be fiercely competitive environments that bring out the worst in any porcupine. Use empathy, firmness, and sensitivity to diffuse this competitiveness and move toward more productive collaboration. Perhaps most importantly, be strong enough to admit when you're wrong. By owning your actions, you set an example for your porcupine to do the same. If there's no shame in admitting fault, there's no fear of blame giving, giving your workplace porcupine one more reason to feel at ease with you. Dealing with a porcupine spouse presents unique challenges because their quills can reach our hearts, causing deeper wounds than casual relationships. These injuries tempt us to act defensively, releasing our own inner porcupine, which can cause long-term relationship damage. With preparation and patience, however, we can protect ourselves while finding solutions to make life with our porcupine spouse enjoyable again. Rationality is key when dealing with a defensive partner. Since porcupine defenses trigger from passion and irrationality, shedding calm, clear light on the situation removes justification for your partner's reaction. Analyzing what's unsettling your spouse goes far toward diffusing their defensiveness. Instead of calling heated exchanges arguments, try disagreements. This subtle shift in language matters because argument implies a never-ending battle of words, while disagreement contains the possibility of a solution in its definition, agreement. Rather than a point of no return, a disagreement becomes a temporary stage toward eventual accord. Work together toward solutions through calm, rational communication. Begin by isolating the issue, stripping away emotional reactions, and getting to the heart of the matter. Avoid accusation, crying, cajoling, guilt-tripping, or other stalemate tactics that prevent progress. Focus instead on cooperation and mutual understanding. Choose conversation timing carefully. Never have important discussions during fights when emotions run high. Schedule a calm time to talk about issues using empathic language to uncover what's truly bothering your partner. They'll likely expect defensive denials and counter-accusations. Don't give in. Resist playing their game and instead use soothing tones to unearth the real problem. Once you've created a plan together, execute it consistently. After your spouse shares their feelings, they need to know your partners in addressing the issue. Show this through consistent action that demonstrates their improved behavior is supported and appreciated. Be persistent. Nothing confuses more than resolutions that last only a day or two. Don't forget to play together and maintain your sense of humor. Breaking out of routines through family vacations, game nights, or simple outings can help your porcupine forget about their quills and remember why you fell in love. When fights loom, steer away from harsh words toward laughter, which carries confidence, assurance, and vitality rather than fear and defensiveness. Today's children face relationship and social issues through digital platforms before they've established their identity and values. Despite these modern challenges, the fundamental approaches to porcupine children remain consistent. Consistency, honesty, and clarity are vital parenting skills across generations. Begin by clearly explaining your family values before problems arise. Too often, moral lessons emerge only after issues occur. We don't tell children lying is unacceptable until catching them in a fib, by which point it's too late. Be forthright about values regarding faith, tolerance, honesty, trustworthiness, and generosity. This foundation helps children understand future lessons and eventually determine right from wrong independently. When your child asks why, have an answer or willingness to search for one together. Sometimes there's no easy explanation, but talking through situations teaches respect for your family's values while acknowledging others may have different perspectives. These conversations are crucial for your child's moral development and your growth as a parent. Avoid lecturing, which shuts down communication. Instead, use conversational tones that invite participation. When dealing with porcupine children, you're trying to draw out their feelings, not suppress them with monologues. Ask questions and listen as much as you speak, or more. Show vulnerability rather than perfection. Many parents believe they must appear faultless to earn children's respect, but the opposite is true. By demonstrating that you face the same rules, disappointments, and conflicts, you show your porcupine child they aren't alone. Share your struggles to help them understand why they sometimes raise their quills, then guide them toward better approaches. Respect your child's territory and privacy. If a child's room is off-limits, any parental visit feels invasive. Enter only with permission and spend positive time together in their space, helping them see you as friend rather than enemy. This territorial respect mirrors how we approach wild porcupines, with caution and deference to their boundaries. In our digital age, plan non-electronic family time. Start with no texting at mealtimes, after 8 p.m. on weeknights, or on weekends. Less digital time means more real-world interaction and opportunities to know each other. Break out cards or board games occasionally. You'll likely discover sides of your children you miss when everyone is staring at screens. Parent-child relationships become particularly complex in adulthood. As individuals, you may fundamentally disagree on many things, but as family, you want connection. This creates friction, especially as adult children seek independence while maintaining parental bonds. Rising above old habits to establish meaningful relationships with porcupine parents, whether they're grouchy, judgmental, critical, or seemingly impossible, may seem hopeless, but solutions exist. For most of us, childhood creates a collision between our growing independence and our parents' expectations. Some families struggle to move past these old conflicts, with painful memories continuing to sting into adulthood. When dealing with a porcupine parent, remember, that was then, this is now. While our present may contain echoes of the past, it can also represent a brand new start. The direction of your future relationship is largely up to you. Try imagining you're meeting your parent as a stranger. How would you start a conversation? What might you learn about them? There's no reason that kind of mutually satisfying, engaging exchange can't happen at your kitchen table. There's much about each other you don't know. The more you share, the more you may discover in common. When your parent criticizes everything from your cooking to your parenting, remember they're adjusting to a new dynamic. You were once reliant on them, now that's no longer the case. Your parent may draw comparisons as a way to maintain their influential role in your life. This isn't necessarily malicious. They're operating as they always have. Your calm, empathic manner will diffuse most situations. Everyone wants to be remembered in a certain way, as an amazing dancer, expert fisherman, life of the party, or prize-winning baker. Allow your porcupine parent to define their legacy and explore it with you and your children. Their self-image may differ from how you see them, but honor this perspective. You might learn about aspects of your parent's life you never knew existed. Keep your parent involved in your life through movies, errands, lunches, or family gatherings. Let them plan outings too. A parent may act prickly simply from feeling irrelevant or bored. By staying present and engaging with your parent, you communicate love to your porcupine in ways that words alone cannot achieve. Everyone has an inner porcupine that emerges when we're challenged or criticized, especially about behaviors we're self-conscious about. These are our sore spots, and whenever someone brings them up, our quills stand up in defense. By the time our inner porcupine retreats, we've often caused a fight, wasted energy, and moved further from the opportunity to change. To successfully interact with porcupines in your life, you must start with the one you know best, yourself. This requires brutal honesty about your own defensive patterns. We can't expect loved ones to be honest about their actions if we can't do the same. Take stock of your faults and weaknesses. That's the first step toward meaningful change. Everyone manifests anxiety and defensiveness differently. Some people withdraw into silence, others lash out verbally. Some turn to food, alcohol, or other distractions. Some become passive-aggressive or manipulative. Learn to recognize your particular defensive signals so you can address what's really wrong rather than acting out unproductively. Ask yourself what you're defensive about and why. These crucial questions may be difficult to answer, but you must ask them to find solutions. If needed, seek help from a loved one, friend, or therapist who can provide objective feedback about your blind spots. Confronting yourself is the hardest, most essential challenge you'll ever face. Be kind during this process, but honest about what needs to be accomplished. Acknowledge your shortcomings, make a plan to address them, and stick with it, no matter how much you try to talk yourself out of it. This inner work isn't just personal development, it's relationship transformation. By understanding and managing your own defensive reactions, you create space for others to do the same. Your self-awareness becomes a gift to everyone around you, especially the porcupines in your life who need models of emotional intelligence. The journey of self-discovery also builds empathy. Having faced your own fears and defenses, you'll understand how hard it can be for others to confront their weaknesses. This increases your patience while your courage inspires the porcupines around you to lower their own quills. Most importantly, this inner work reminds us that we're all porcupines sometimes. The line between difficult people and us is thinner than we might like to admit. This humbling realization is perhaps the most powerful lesson of all, that beneath our various defenses, we share a common humanity and a universal need for acceptance, understanding, and love.